Hello, everyone, and a very warm welcome to the next podcast of Magnetic Heart, where myself, Camilla Nunn, and my very special guest speaker, Claudia Chapman, will be diving into a very spicy topic all to do with gender roles and how they have changed in these modern times, and how we can really start to look at these roles and question them and find some balance there in our perspectives as men and women, so we can really progress and shift in order to have a more harmonious reality, a harmonious future with the way in which we work, the way in which we come together as well as men and women in friendship, in partnership, and so on. So a very warm welcome, Claudia. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure, thanks, Camilla. Hi, I'm Claudia Chapman. I'm a women's empowerment coach and Kundalini yoga teacher and healer. And I specialize in, sorry, just ran up the stairs, working with women who've had an experienced sexual trauma.
I'm really happy to have you again on Magnetic Heart because I know we had a wonderful discussion the last time all about love. And we always could just talk and talk and talk for hours about so many different kinds of things. And we were talking before this podcast about it was about gender roles and how really in the workplace, how it's changed so much over the years, how really women have stepped up and women are beginning to really take on a lot more. And obviously, with that comes so many positive things and growth. Women have had a lot more power because of that. And we've always been pushing for our power. But with that, there's also had it's also had some I guess more negative effects, negative consequences on women and on men, because when dynamics change, usually energy changes. And I guess this is where we really just want to explore the topic. Both of us, I guess, we're not saying we know the truth and we know what's right and wrong. We're speaking from ourselves, from our own perspectives. And I guess we're talking based on the conversations we've had with many of our friends and clients. So, Claudia, what do you have to say about this topic? Is there anything that you feel you want to start talking about first?
I think this is a huge topic, and it's we could cover quite a lot, but I think what's it's kind of one step up, if you like, in the conversation from what we were talking about in our last podcast together on love, and talking about, the sacred union of masculine and feminine, and how does that play out with gender roles? Like, what's dropped into me, even like in the last 24 hours, if I'm honest, kind of trying to work out, WTF, what's going on? What's going on in the world? What's going on since, the inauguration in America, new presidency, and all the things that are coming through? We are kind of all trying to make sense of it, I think, in some way or another. Or some of us more than others, maybe. So, as a part of that, as m myself trying to make sense of it, I've been listening to, various podcasts and things, and listening to what's going on, really. And I was listening to a podcast last night where, there was this chap who appeared to be, very white male, American. a Trump supporter, and sort of saying, we've gone too far, women have gone too far, men are being emasculated. And I was like, really? And then, but the more I listened to him, and the more I listened to all the men that were on this podcast, it was actually the Diary of the CEO, and it was, they were all explaining that, in America, the reason why someone like Trump has gone into power is because men are feeling emasculated. There's lots of white males sitting playing games all day because they can't get into universities, they can't get into good jobs, and women are ruling the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're talking about the whole racial card, and there's lots to talk about here and unpack. But I kind of started to understand, like, on the one hand, here I am doing the goddess work, the divine feminine work. Well, actually, my work is actually the goddess, which is divine feminine, divine masculine. And I'm very pro this idea that we have both, and we come together in sacred union. And listening, though, to women talking about, my clients talking about how, they're trying to, like, move through the world on their own now, and, like, they're having to, like, get their own mortgages, and they can't rely on a man, and they have to do it for themselves. So we're living in this really interesting moment. I feel like we're on the precipice of a great awakening around gender roles.
I really agree. I really agree. I know that women have had to really push for their power because for a long, long time, women didn't have that power. And there was a lot of suppression, and we weren't allowed to do what we are allowed to do today. So I understand that women have had to sort of fight and like really learn to fight for freedom and power. And as much as I know there's been so much positivity that's come out of it, I do personally feel that we've all gone too far. And now I think what you're saying with there's this sort of awakening that's going on at the moment where we're really having to stop and question, okay, how do we really want the future to look like? And how do we want to step forward? How can we start to really question our own motivation behind what we're doing as women and the energy behind it? Because I can only speak for myself and for the women that I'm talking to. But I know for me, I've also adopted that I'm strong, I don't need a man, fuck you, I can do it all sort of mentality. And I guess in the society that we live, we're all very much taught, earn your own money, be free, be powerful. You never have to rely on anyone else. And as much as that is, it's important to be self-sufficient and to really, be an individual and be able to work, and have your creativity. It's also, I think, slightly toxic to feel and believe that we don't need anybody else in our, we don't need support because we do. I think we all, as for as long as we're human beings, we are, I mean, it's natural. It's something very, very natural for us to be in relationship, to rely and fall back on our community. And I think we're really moving, we have moved so far away from that. And I do feel that's why there's been such a rise in anxiety, depression, mental health issues, loneliness, and illness as well, because we're so separate. And it's this separateness that's I've got the problem with, and this pointing fingers at, well, men are this and women are that. I mean, we could talk for hours about this topic because it's just so vast. But how do you feel as a woman? How do you feel things have changed in the last couple of decades?
Thank you for that. Yeah, how do I feel? Well, first thing I kind of want listeners to know that I am, what my status is, because I think that helps
Yes.
when I make statements to people know. So, I'm, a 53-year-old woman with three children, living with a man, a husband for 17 years, been married, happily married, and I live in a monogamous relationship. And my husband earns very good money so that I can do essentially whatever I want with the work that I do. So I'm in a very privileged position, and I'm grateful for that privilege. I have a very multiracial family. I have one child who's an Anglo-Indian, and I have two children who are Anglo-Egyptian, and I am of Jewish heritage. So we're pretty much United Nations. So we live in London, and and I work with the goddess. I work with empowering women. And I'm also quite a masculine female in some ways. I kind of really do have very strong masculine tendencies as well as feminine tendencies. So just sort of s saying that from the off go for anyone who doesn't know who I am. So if you could repeat the question, because I've sort of gone off onto a
So,
tangent.
yeah, I would be really interested to know how you feel that gender roles have changed maybe since you were young.
Right. Okay. So I grew up in the 80s, and then the 90s with the girl power stuff. So it's always been a really confused it was confusing then, and it's probably even more confusing now, I would think. But so we did feel like we were the first generation in the 80s where we could have it all. It was all about being able to be get a good job and be a great wife and be a great mother, and we could have it all. And I think that was the 80s, and then and into the 90s. And now I kind of feel like we've got to a point where, like, even I agreed in my second husband that I'm with the last 17 years, we agreed that, because I was sort of in my late 30s and I was going to have hopefully have babies, which I did in my late 30s and my last one at 40, that we had an agreement that and my past had been a bit of a struggle with my ex-husband financially. That I would stay at home, I would bring up the kids, and he would go to work. So we would have a kind of 1950s agreement, and we were both happy about that because I'd had a very new age marriage in the past. My first husband, was someone who was a creative, and we had a very sort of hippie, maybe hippie relationship, and sort of traveled and lived abroad, and self-sufficiency and all of those things. So when I met my husband, it was an idea that, here I'd have stability. And so I was willing to, and I wanted more children. So I was willing to say, okay, you go out to work then, and I'll stay home with the children. And we were in agreement. So, in your second marriage, you get to sort of lay things out a lot clearer than you do in your first, because you kind of just your first, you're like, I'll just get married and it'll all be rosy, and
Happily
then we'll just
ever
say
after.
happily ever after, a bit like Disneyfication, right? Disney ideas of living happily ever after. So we were a little bit, I was a bit more long in the tooth. So we were kind of like, okay, this is the agreement. But I have to say that within a few years of being in, very happy and being with the kids and, three kids, and it was all very lovely, I was itching to get out to work and be successful in my own right. I wanted my own business. So I used to be a teacher, so I decided I'd become a party entertainer, and I was a theatre director, so I sort of entwined the two things, became a party entertainer, had my own successful party business that I did at weekends, passed the baton to my husband during weekends, and he had the kids and I went off to work. So in long story short is that I started to feel like I wanted to have my own life, my own money, and my own sovereignty and my own agency, even though we'd agreed that I was quite happy to be a 1950s housewife. So yeah, it's not easy, like stepping into like for your age group now, there's so much going on. It's so hard. But I have the privilege of choice, but I still choose to want to, even though money isn't actually I don't work for money. I know that sounds weird, but I do work for money. We all work for money, but not so that I have to put food on the table. So I work because I love the work I do, and I'm really passionate about working with women and helping women to achieve what they deserve and what they want, whatever it is they want, whether they want to be a 1950s housewife or whether they want to be a high flat power executive,
I
like
think
whatever
the choice is
choice.
important, but I think we've got to this point where we almost don't have that choice anymore because of so many different factors. The cost of living is going up. We have to obviously now as women go out and work very hard to be able to afford everything. Some of us are living with partners who may not be earning as much, and so it is now the thing for both partners to be going out and working. And if children are involved, then obviously that's an extra thing, an extra expense. So times are a lot more complicated now because I guess back even a couple of decades ago. It was a lot more simpler, and I guess with gender roles as well. I can talk for my own self. When I look at my parents, my father was just the typical father. He was a breadwinner. He went out and he worked and paid for the mortgage, and he'd come back. And my mother was a typical housewife. She stayed at home. She didn't work. She cooked and cleaned and took care of us kids. And that's what I was exposed to growing up. Just a very kind of simple mother's at home cooking, father's at home outside working. And that's what I knew of what it was to be married. And they were the sort of the roles that I looked to for masculine and feminine. And I think a lot of my friends even have had experiences like that, have had upbringings like that. Some have been come from broken families, but in general it was a little bit more simple. Whereas now, because we're sort of very much exploring our own masculine and feminine energies within, we there's a lot more to there's a lot more of us that's now on the table. And because we want to explore it, maybe being a woman and just staying at home, having kids, and cooking, being in the kitchen, just it doesn't feel like it resonates anymore. Or maybe for a man, just going out and being the breadwinner, doesn't resonate for that man anymore. And it is important, first and foremost, I think that we're being honest with who we are in our relationships. I think for anything to thrive, because I do believe we're moving into times where we can be more fluid with what we want in our lives and what we want from partnerships, what roles we want to play. It's possible for maybe the man to be taking more of the feminine role and for the woman to be taking more of the masculine role, but we need to be really, really honest with ourselves. But in terms of what I'm seeing, because me and you, we work predominantly with women. I'm talking to a lot more women who are extremely overwhelmed and burnt out. And now I'm speaking for myself and for those women because I feel like it's almost been I can't believe I'm saying this, but I feel for a lot of women that I know. Just to say, I want to be a woman who is at home and has a fam, kind of has a family, or is at home and just doing homely things and having the option to go out and work, to have that reality. I think so many women kind of crave that, but we're too afraid
Admitted.
to admit it because of this rise in what it means to be a powerful woman in this time. It means that you've got to have your own business and earn this amount of money and work, work, work and push, push, push. But I think that women have pushed so far that we've actually We may have just forgotten who we are and what makes us a woman. And it is in the softness, it is in the femininity, it is in the like kind of letting go and going with the flow and not pushing that makes us magnetic and makes us juicy. And I do think being a woman, especially a woman living in a city like London, some of us are just so exhausted. And the wisdom, the feminine wisdom is being lost. And for just moving forward with this as well, I think that how that affects men, because if women are being like men, we feel like we've actually had to be men to kind of be seen and heard. What that then does to the dynamic between men and women, I think that is also something that is causing a hell of a lot of problems, and it's something I think we both really, really want to delve into.
You said something earlier, or I said it, and then you reflected and back again. So it's ping pong, but choice. So what's happened is just and the other reflection I want to make as well before about the choice thing is the fact that when you talk about your mom and dad, which I believe is sort of maybe a decade, just a decade older than me, your mom stayed at home, your dad went to work. Like when I grew up in the 80s, my mom did both. So. And there's so many different, depending on your class, your where geographically where you live. I think for about 40 years now, we've had maybe 50 years, we've had a lot more choice. So it's not been like, well, in the 1980s, women did this, and the 1990s, women did that, and so on. It's always been that there's always been lots of different, ways of doing things. So women staying at home, women going to work, women doing both, right? And sometimes it's been out of choice, and sometimes it's been because financially people can't afford it. Now, I want to say something about that. So choice. So what I witnessed and noticed about people, other parents, for instance, in my same demographic and where I live in London, that they would both go to work and they would say that they both had to work because it was about having enough money. Right, but they would pay for childcare. So actually, at the end of the day, it was still choice because actually, if the woman decided or the man decided to stay at home, one parent stayed at home, they wouldn't be paying out the amount of childcare and all the other things that they had to pay out for as for their kids. So it comes back to choice. And what we all want, I think what we all want is choice.
Totally.
So we all want to have the choice. Do we want to be a 1950s housewife, or do we want to go to work, or do we want this, or do we want that? Like, you have to decide as a family what your choice, what it is you want. Yes, and I'm also aware that some people just don't have a bloody choice because they're on the breadline, and that's how they have to live. That's a whole other subject, actually, because that is a whole other subject. But
We'd be here all night, isn't it,
We've
if we
even talked about that, but exactly. But so there's choice. So there's choice. And also, I think we're on a precipice of so much confusion, and that's why we're having this conversation. We've just had a change of government in the US, which is actually affecting going to affect us all, and the ripple effects have already happened. We've already got demanding things, et cetera, to our government and all the rest of it. So the ripple effects are huge. So we're sitting on the precipice of a completely new earth, a new age. And when we knew, when we heard about this going into the age of Aquarius the last few years, we were all kind of like, yeah, it all sounds fabulous. I'm looking forward to it. But now we're here, we're all going, oh my God, holy fuck. Like, actually, what is going on? And this
And
is why we're having these conversations. We're trying
the
to make sense.
conversations are so important. These conversations are what we need to be doing so much more of right now, because if we don't talk about it, if we don't start to question what's going on, how can we start to make changes within ourselves, how can we be more honest with our with ourselves and with our friends and family and lovers, then how are we going to make these changes? And I'll describe these times as almost like, you know, a house, you're moving house, and you've got to, or you're redoing your house. Maybe that's even a better way of describing it. You're redoing your house, and temporarily there's just shit everywhere. But you know that the end result is going to be an even more beautiful home. But it's at this moment in time, we're going through a complete restructuring of our systems, of our belief systems, of societal systems, of everything that we want to start to see and experience in our realities, a higher sort of more harmonious, balanced reality. We have to start to really notice, okay, what are we doing collectively and individually that is not in alignment with that? And that really, it can be really hard because we've got to be so truthful with ourselves, so honest, so deeply honest. And it's hard, I think, now in these modern times, because of how distracted we are by social media, how we're very much tricked into thinking this is all shiny and beautiful, this is where you should be going, and this is what you should be putting your focus on, where in truth, maybe that isn't actually what you want to be focusing on, or that's not something that may make you happy. I think we're very misled in these times because of social media. And again, social media has got its positives, but it's being aware of, okay, am I being distracted here? Am I feeling like because this person's doing this, I've got to go and do it as well. I've got to be earning this sort of XYZ amount of money.
Can I reply to that?
Yes, please.
So we all know that social media, and we've been talking about it for a while now, social media is like, distracting us. It's compare and contrast, and it's causing, lots of mental health issues, and we're all unhappy with it. But we're still all buying into it, and we're all buying into it because our businesses are on it, we communicate on it, our social lives are on it, our phones are overtaking our lives. Like, we are literally that picture where the phone is stuck to the face, right? We know, right? We know. So even though we know, we have, it's almost like we have no choice. Even our banking's on it, right? So it's like we know, but we have no choice. So the frustration that is building up in society is coming through that. Now, interestingly, at the same time as this precipice of us all going through this change, we are seeing that social media is now declaring itself a free-for-all, and we don't know what that's going to mean. We don't know what this freedom of speech is going to mean. In some ways, there's a part of me that feels like, well, actually, if social media suddenly becomes this free-for-all, and there's so much racism and misogyny and all the rest of it going on there, and violence and inciting all sorts of things on it, then we will all vote with our feet and we'll all come off it. I mean, all the people that, within the realms of society that are not, whatever the word is, violent, then we'll all come off it. And there's a part of me that thinks like, great, we'll all come off it. We'll all come off this thing that's sucking us dry, and then we'll stop the compare and contrast, and then we won't have all these issues. But in reality, we don't know what that means. But we do know that we're on the precipice of a completely new world. Like I just said a minute ago, this social media is also part of this new earth. So what do you think about that?
I
This
think
change.
I think we've also got to make the decision to do what we need to do to become so strong within our own selves, whether that be having a really good daily meditation practice. Our spiritual practice, I think, is really important, where we can be exposed to all of this social media stuff, but we are aware and we are strong enough to say, okay, well, that's my bit of time for the day, but I still know who I am and I still know what I want. And for me, if it wasn't for meditation and some of the sort of more, I guess, shamanic work that I've done and plant medicine work that I've done, that's really helped me to get very clear on what's going on inside and help me to really explore my own truth as an individual. And I guess that's always a journey, what your needs are. But I don't get as kind of taken out of myself anymore by the outside world. But I think we all have to understand who we are first. And a lot of people don't know who they are, and they've not been given the right tools, or they haven't had the right kind of support, or there's been a lot of trauma. And it's again, it's complex. It's not black and white. I think it's very, very it's if we were just to take away social media, I think social media is showing us actually what needs to be looked at inside. All of our neuroses, they're all coming out. All of our prejudices, all of the sort of the ways in which we've tried to separate ourselves with others, that's all coming out through social media. And so it's still us. It's still playing out within us. And I do believe that what we're seeing in the world is a reflection of the state in which we have within our own selves. And so, yes, I think that's what I would respond back to your question. Doing more inner work, and quietening down a little bit so you can actually hear what your truth is. I think we're all going so quickly. We're all running for things outside of ourselves. If we don't understand what's going on within first, if we don't root first within our own selves, then we're always going to be grasping for things outside of us and distracted.
Yeah, distraction. And what you're talking about is the microcosm reflecting the microcosm reflecting the macrocosm. So, you know, what's going on in our inner world is like a reflection of what's going on in the outer world. And so we were talking earlier before that we started recording about, you know, this new inauguration, this new presidency is a reflection of where society is at. And we've gone so far into trying to make sense of things and being equal to everyone that we've almost gone full circle and we'll be equal to no one. So we're not being equal to the masculine or the feminine. We're just like confused.
I think we were talking as well about men, weren't we? And how there's been a rise in men feeling quite deflated and emasculated, and sort of, a lot of men not feeling that they have purpose anymore, and then that having an impact on relationships. This is something we were talking about, and we felt passionately about exploring today too, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, suicide rates for men are through the roof, from what I understand. And you know, we're kind of at the same time as having like all these, you know, the sort of gender he and she's sort of becoming a they, at the same time with all of that coming into play, we're kind of becoming more and more sort of in our own corners. You know, and it's
I
a
think.
really interesting dichotomy of things playing out where women and men are sort of separating, a lot more at the same time as you know, actually genders are starting to get more fluid. So it's a there's so much dichotomy, there's so much contradiction
And I think
that
that a lot of people don't understand that men, they thrive when they have purpose, and they thrive when they are able to provide and to give. This is just in general, men get energy through having purpose, and women in general thrive and get energy through feeling love and through connection. And if we were to actually understand these things, we'd be able to start to give more space for us, for us to actually kind of fall into those parts of ourselves, and not to be so much at war, to realize that actually we all have our unique gifts, and to allow those gifts to shine, and to understand, what men need and what women need.
well, this is all going to come out now. I mean, this, you know, it's all coming to a head, and this sacred union work, this understanding work is coming through, and it won't reach everyone, but we have to start with the people that might listen to this podcast, because those are the people that are going to be wanting to make the changes, and enter into this new way of being. And I think we have got no choice now but to start to really listen deeply to one another. And by having this very sort of white male presence dominating the world right now, we are being made to see what is wrong in society, what how far what have we done as a society, and what do we need to address. So I think this is the beginning of a very big magnifier, a big mirror being held up
Yes.
On society, and it will take a while for the ripple effects to go down to, say, that white male who's sitting in the basement in Texas playing on his computer game. It might take a while to get to him and let him know that, he is loved and he is enough. The same way that we've got young women who are still body shaming, who still don't feel that they're enough in their part of
Yeah,
society as well. You
it's
know, it's going to take some time, but having these conversations, doing the work, bringing people together. I'm currently studying a postgrad in psychosexual and relationship therapy, and I'm going to be a bigger advocate in the world, to bring these people together and start to bring
wow.
people together, as it were, and to start to see each other. And I think that's all we can do, is to do whatever we can
I love that.
to yeah, right. And it, but it's all it's you know I'm just being guided. I mean, I'm an intuitive as well. I just feel like I'm being guided to try and do this work where we can start to understand each other a bit better. And actually, it'd be nice. Yeah, we will have another little podcast, I think, about relationships shortly. But yeah.
I really love what you said, and I think so much of what's going on in the world is due to a lack of love, isn't it? Really, to simplify it. And the journey back to just realizing who we really are, coming back to that love, it can be a painful, chaotic journey, but the truth is so simple. And I really believe that having honest, raw, vulnerable, free conversation, without this sort of cancel culture where you're cancelled for saying something that offends someone else, to be able to really feel confident to just to speak, to speak what's going on inside, for to allow energy to move, to have conversation where you don't feel you're being criticized and judged, to just have conversation and be for someone to listen just with an open heart, for things to move naturally. I think it's what's needed, and that's, I guess, the motivation behind Magnetic Heart podcast. And so, we don't have to be right, but we've got to have the right intention. And if people's intention is to do with unity, and coming together, having a life that embodies more love and connection, then we can't go wrong. I really believe that we can't.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming together and talking doesn't always solve everything, but I tell you what, it's the best place to start. And so yeah, communication, and so maybe yeah, communication and talking and being open and honest and talking from the heart. Keeping your heart open, like you say, we need that feminine way to guide. I think the masculine does need hand holding from the feminine. It needs the mother to show the way. And this part of and the mother is the world. The mother is Mother Earth as
As
well.
well.
So we're being totally guided by Mother Earth because of what's going on in the world right now.
It
So
really
maybe.
reminded me of something when you said that about the mother. We come to the mother, and it reminded me of one of my teachers. She was saying, when a child falls down and hurts themselves, they start crying, and the first person they want is their mother. And it's like, now humanity, we're at a point where we are confused and we're hurt and we don't know where we're going. So the first person to call is the great mother. Well, she is the only person to call when we're in such desperate need. And it really reminded me of that.
Yeah, and I think that it's just to take away any gender bias, it's Mother Earth, if that's what we need, if we are calling on Mother Earth to hold us. It's the root chakra, it's the archetype of the mother that we call on every day. And that's a big part of my work is to start the week every week, with the mother. We have to feel that security and that stability and that grounding. And once we're held by the mother, at the end of the day, the mother is the womb space. It is the holding. It is the one that nurtures the child into life. And so when we start at that point every day, then we are gonna we you know then we are hopefully gonna have a bit more of a stable world. And so we've yeah, lots more to explore, I think, with that.
And just before we finish, the mother as well, it's nature, and it's that intelligence of nature. And when we can connect more with nature, we connect more with our true nature, our true selves. So the truth is simple, but we are on a journey right now where we're having to question a lot. And through honest conversation, through our vulnerability, and I believe that we are on the right road. And let's see where it what flows. Let's see what comes out of this. But I just want to say thank you so much, Claudia, for again being part of the podcast today. And
Thank you for having me.
you're very welcome, and I look forward to doing many more podcasts with you. And we hope that you, the viewers, have really benefited from listening in today.
Thank you so much. So much more to come.
Yeah. So, thank you again, and from both of us, we look forward to seeing you very soon.